Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Welcome back to the About Last Night podcast. I'm Adam Ray, your host. If you haven't been here before, good to see you. If you have been here before, what's up? So look, first things first, just walked up the stairs. There was a door open to an office that also exists in this building. And I heard a couple of gals going, and I immediately had this thought of secrets don't make friends. And then I couldn't help but be so excited to know what they were talking about. Didn't want to ask, almost asked, what's the secret etiquette? If I walk by and hear you going, yeah. And then they both also looked at me suspiciously. And I didn't assume narcissistically that they were speaking about me because they don't fucking know me. Unless that would be bonkers if I was walking up the stairs and they were like, and does he take care of himself? Whatever it is. Why is he always dressing up like somebody else? Whatever it could be. You know, is it circumcised? So I didn't assume it was pertaining to Adam Ray. But if it was, that'd be bonkers because, again, the timing. So I go, can I ask? Should I ask? Will I ask? And no is the answers to all those. I didn't. I just kept walking so that I could come record on time. But also, I needed to get this out. So, moving forward, what do I do? If you see someone look at you when you walk up and go, they looked like caught red-handed, like whatever they were talking about, like they were getting ready to say something anti-Semitic, and maybe they saw me and go, he looks like one. You know, were they gossiping about something that's so gossipy that they're like, fuck, even a stranger shouldn't listen to this? Which then begs the follow-up question, what's the most gossipy thing that could be talked about that someone would look at a stranger and go, I hope they don't say anything. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, well, Todd tried to get a thing where he could cut his wiener off and make it a black wiener. And his wife, though, doesn't even care because she is cheating on him. She has a whole other family. And anyway, so McDonald's, yeah, their fries are so much bigger these days. You know, like, if I could have just gotten a little more info on the way up, I could have probably put the pieces together. Secrets are fun. Gossip is fun. No one's immune from gossiping or talking shit, judging. It's just a part of being a human. I don't think anyone has ever. I think even Tom Cruise has been like, Nicole Kidman has smelly tits. Or, you know, I don't know who that was. That was a terrible Cruise impression. Let me tell you something about Demi Moore. She is exquisite. Jerry Maguire, Renee Zellweger. I don't even like saying that name because it almost feels like I'm saying the N-word. But, you know, Cruise is a guy that probably enjoys a good dip in the talking shit pool. He's a person. Or is he? Sometimes I feel like he's going to go, Mission Impossible 7 is a great movie. 1 second. Because there's rumors that he's an alien. But I don't know. If aliens do show themselves, who are they showing? Who are they showing up as? Meryl Streep? Will Smith? I'm trying to think of the famous of the fame. A Kardashian wouldn't surprise me. Rob Kardashian would surprise me. Kim Kardashian would not surprise me. Khloe Kardashian would not surprise me. She's like 6'9". Not that I think aliens are tall, but she's just built different. Harrison Ford, yeah. Jude Law. It's a fun game. What celebs, if it was announced from the alien community that are among us and have been for centuries, who would they say they were letting come down and test out being a person for a bit? Dua Lipa? Yeah. The Cash Me Outside girl? DaBaby, I think that's her name. DaBaby. Bad Bunny? Who knows? Ava Longoria? Pat Sajak? Eminem? Mary Fuck Kill? Let's do that real quick. I'd probably, obviously, I think you sleep with Ava Longoria because she looks like she's got everything still clicking and ticking. I think you kill Pat Sajak and you marry Eminem for financial security and also like knowing that you can inspire a song, right? He's like, do the dishes. And you're like, ugh, I don't want to. I'm feeling lazy and Daisy and Spacey. He's like, lazy, Daisy, Kevin Spacey, hazy, Maisy. We got the Macy sale coming up on the tortoise and the hare. Put the snail in the kale. Salad, healthy, staying physically fit. But you don't want to get up on this dick because you got balloons in your face as a party. It's a total disgrace because it's down the street next to the girl who sells her feet online. She makes money from putting her body on the internet. On the internet. That went the furthest away from an Eminem rap. But yeah, marry that guy. Kill Sajak, I guess. Even though he's on his way out, he's about to be retired from Wheel of Fortune. And Ryan Seacrest has taken over. Seacrest, what can he not do? What can't he do, I guess, is the way to phrase that. Another thing that happened on the way up, quickly stopped by to take a pee in the toilet, say it with me. And yeah, there was pee on the seat and some teepee in the toilet. And hey, I know it was a guy because girls don't pee on the seat, okay? So hey, guy, don't pee on the seat and leave the pee on the seat. Wipe it off, man, because now I'm walking in. Maybe that's actually, let's run it back. This is what the girls could have been talking about. I peed on the seat, but I didn't want to wipe it off because, you know, a guy will think it's a guy and get pissed at him and talk about him on his podcast and not us. And then her friend's like, wait, Catherine, how did you pee on the seat? Your vagina is lower than your butt. Either way, fellas, we got to start taking better care of the restroom. Okay, there's always hair or urine or phlegm or something in or around the toilet. And on the seat, it's just, this problem is, a lot of people deal with this problem at like a coffee shop where you walk out of the bathroom and let's say when you walked in, again, piss everywhere. So you're like, it's a unisex bathroom. You're always in that conundrum of, do I clean up the piss? Do I clean up someone else's piss? Who am I, Cinderella? Wait, that's not the plot of that movie. She's got mice that help her get a dress for the ball. Pumpkin turns in, somebody turns into a pumpkin. Seven dwarves. That's fucking Snow White. The mice. They Cinderella. Every day, Cinderella. Umbrella Ella. And then fucking the ball. And then she fucks the prince in a dressed like a pumpkin in the pumpkin patch. She fucked the prince in the pumpkin patch. That's the plot of Cinderella, I think. Oh, and there's a fairy godmother who's, I think, has diabetes and is just coked out, too. She was just, alakazooza, zimmanabooza, bitty babbity boo. She just was homeless and she found a stick and she's like, it's my magic wand. Cinderella, you want to be a pumpkin? Gabooey. I need to watch that movie again. I don't think that's right. But I don't know. I don't know. People be peopling. That's my sentiment for 2024. I've been saying it on stage. People be peopling. It's a way to give benefit of the doubt to people that are coming in too hot. It's a way to, you know, meet someone halfway and recognize that it's tough to be a person. And also just, you know, it's healthier to not get stressed out and perturbed by all the bullshit that we as humans throw around 24, say it with me, 7. So I don't know. Fellas, wipe the pee off the seat. If you're at a coffee shop, that's what I was talking about. You walk in, it's piss everywhere. You go, I'm not cleaning this up. Then you walk out and there's a gorgeous human that's just like, hope there's not pee on that seat so I can put my fresh butt on it. And you're like, yeah. So then do you go in there and you clean it up real quick? Or do you say to that girl, well, by the way, not my pee. guy before me did it, didn't want to clean it up because it's not my job, but now I'm wishing I did because you think it's definitely mine. Coffee shop bathrooms are just changing rooms for, I don't know, it's almost like a reverse phone booth, Superman style. You know how Superman would go, Clark Kent would go into a phone booth and come out as Superman. You'll see people walk in board shorts and a tank top and walk out in a fucking tuxedo, and you're like, all right, this place is... I've seen crazy people walk in and come out crazier. I saw somebody fucking hotbox a Starbucks bathroom once. That was hilarious. And that person was me. And they didn't catch me. I wouldn't do that. I don't have the balls. It's also like it's one of those. I'm not a huge risk taker. I am on stage with comedy and stuff. You got to be, but it's tougher to break all the rules, you know. I went and saw Michael Jackson the musical last night with my mom and wife, and phenomenal, by the way. Whew. And no, I know you're asking, is there a song where he's like, I didn't touch those kids that night. I thought about it in the moonlight, but I just rode my pants instead and laid my head to rest under a crustable wrapper. The guy who played Michael Jackson was unreal. The guy who played young Mike was unreal. Middle Mike. The guy who played the dad and Mike's manager, phenomenal. Great cast. The guy who played main Mike, I mean, dancing and singing on top of the world. Could not tell that was not Michael Jackson. And that's impressive as shit. Music was great. It's at the Pantages. The energy too, man. You forget, Michael Jackson songs get everybody going. Patrice O'Neill, RIP, was the first comic I saw do a live headline set at the Punchline in San Francisco. Shout out, one of my favorite clubs. You know this. Read the Room, my first special right here. Check it out. It's on YouTube, filmed and recorded there. I saw Patrice as the first headliner, and he did a bit about, I just got to make sure that when I listen to Michael Jackson, it's pre or post kid effing. And I thought that was funny. But yeah, I don't know. The music is so good that you, I guess, and I'm sure everyone tries to. They allude to that he's being discussed in the media and stuff. And I'm sure the people who put the musical together were like, let's just celebrate him. People are going to think what they're going to think. People be peopling. But unreal. Pantages. Wow, what a theater. What a theater, man. Hollywood Boulevard. Got the Walk of Fame right there. You've got so many stars on that thing. It's such a hodgepodge of, is that the right word, hodgepodge? It's such a place to, like my mom and stepdad and I walked down it, and it was great to see just how many people love that. My mom was taking so many pictures of like, there's Marilyn Monroe. There's, you know, Marilyn Manson. There's, you know, Charles Manson. She just was fired up to take photos of every star, and it was very cute. Had a great trip with the folks. Wowzers. Just, it flew by. Mom and stepdad came down to L.A., saw the Joey Mack documentary screening. If you haven't seen that, check it out. It's up on the YouTube right here. Joey Mack. Podumentary, we're calling it. A podcast meets a documentary looking back at his night at Carnegie Hall, which happened a year ago, January 14th, 2023. And I sat down with him and rehashed the whole thing because it was an amazing experience. And it's on my YouTube. And there's behind-the-scenes footage and pictures. And it's a really sweet piece and really funny, too. Joey Mack from New Kids on the Block and the McCarthys and the Heat. Just a living legend. So check that out right here. Check it out on the YouTube channel for my main page, Adam Ray Comedy. So we saw that. And then they stuck around for the... for the Dr. Phil live show at the store with Nikki Glaser and Whitney Cummings and special guest Trevor Wallace, of course, Jeremiah Watkins. And we had a girl named Christine play Gypsy Rose Blanchard. And a lot of people thought she was Gypsy Rose. This episode, by the way, comes out January 31st, episode 5 of Dr. Phil Live with Nikki Glaser, Whitney Cummings. So fun. They all crushed it. Where do I start on this night? First of all, more and more people coming out for the show. God bless you. I don't know where you're finding it. I guess just YouTube and all the other stuff I'm posting clips and bits of. But, man, appreciate the love. It makes the show way more fun when people are there and fired up. We have another one on February 6th with Bill Burr, which is sold out. Cannot wait for that. We just locked Mark Norman and Burt Kreischer for the Netflix is a Joke Festival show on May 6th. And my March 5th and April 2nd shows are very close to guests, so stay tuned on that. But Nikki and Whitney hit it out of the park. So funny. January 31st, episode 5 of Dr. Phil Live will air on YouTube.com/AdamRayComedy. They brought it, man. You need people to come on that show that want to play, that are down to DFW, as I say. And they were real funny. We had a lot of great pops. A lot of great pops. And, you know, it's cool because they have podcasted together. But having comics that haven't been together like that on stage a lot is always really fun. And so that was a real treat. Trevor Wallace popped in to do, we did this bit where it was putting a period cramp simulator on ourselves to see what it was like to, you know, to be a woman. You know, what's it like? Because you guys are just, someone's either trying to fuck you or kill you. And I don't like that. I don't get it either. But I would love to understand even just a smidgen of what it's like to go through a menstrual cycle. So we went through it. Jeremiah, as his character Tad, just an insane, gnarly fuckboy, was on. And energy for that character was great. Jeremiah, if you haven't seen these Dr. Phil Live shows, you know, did one with Bill Burr, Santino and Bobby Lee, Adam Devine and Anders Holm, Matt Rife, and now Whitney and Nikki, drops January 31st. Jeremiah always plays a character to kind of open the show up as the first guest. And this one was, in particular, a fun way to get it going. The energy was strong, you know, tied into the rest of the show swiftly. And then Nikki and Whitney brought it, and then we had, again, this girl Christine, who I just met through my friend Carly Craig. Shout out to Carly, Mad TV alum. She dressed up and pretended to be Gypsy Rose Blanchard. If you're not familiar with the story, Munchausen syndrome, Gypsy Rose just got out of jail 3 weeks ago. Her mom pretended that she was sick her whole life until she was 23, and then she killed her mom because she was like, wait, I can walk? I don't have cancer? You lied to me. You said I was a sick kid and went to Disneyland for free and got all these hospital treatments and meds and put in a feeding tube, and she had a breathing tube, and which she said just made her breathe worse. This kid had no clue. The mom was just Munchausen syndrome is what it's called, which sounds kind of tasty. It sounds like something you wouldn't want to, probably wouldn't be your go-to on the menu, but you're like, is the Munchausen syndrome gluten-free? Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It sounds like a fun, like a haunted house or a Munchausen. It sounds like a weird German, like, Munchausen is where Germans first learn to we love to poop on people's chests and film it for porn, German porn. This is a real thing, by the way. That's not a real German accent, but they poop on each other. That's like a sexual, that's a fetish for them. Hey, don't kill the messenger. I'm just sharing what I've heard about Germans pooping sex stuff. So Munchausen syndrome sounds like something you would, that's how, it sounds like if you wanted that to happen to you, you'd ask for the Munchausen. I digress. This girl's mom, Gypsy Rose Blanchard's mom, told her she was sick, shaved her head, feeding tube, breathing tube. Oh my. She wakes up one day, she's like, I can walk. Wait, I can eat sugary treats and not have problems. So she, with the guy that she met online and was her boyfriend, plotted and then carried through. She asked the boyfriend to kill, and he did. Stabbed her like 17 times. Wild. And went to jail for 8 years because they were like, she's trying to just be with her. I mean, you murdered someone, so that's no bueno. But they realized that she was not in on it with her mom. They thought for a long time, neighbors alike, was like, oh, Gypsy Rose is mom, and then Gypsy Rose, you know, were in cahoots to pull a fast one on everyone. And then they realized, no, she had no idea. So they let her out. She was supposed to serve 10 years, served 8, and she just got out, and she has only done a few interviews. So my friend Carly was like, you should have her on. It's topical. It's like she looks like her. She sounds like her. And a lot of people thought it was her. I set her up earlier in the show and then brought her out, and people were kind of like, holy shit. And also, you know, we get cool guests on the Dr. Phil Live show, so I think a lot of people were like, I have no reason to assume this is not the real person. And I still have people asking me if it is or isn't, and I'm telling you now it's not. But I'm also telling you that that I can't wait for you to see it because it turned out really well. A lot of fun, those shows. Challenging. And I'm exhausted at the end of it, but on such a high. This last one in particular, I felt real dialed in on because it's such a balance. There's, you know, I do this so much in my life and have done it in creating a path for myself in this business, I just have gotten reliant on myself for everything. And Henry Winkler, the Fonz, Barry, legend, Happy Days, his son Max, shout out, was in my fraternity at USC, became friends with him, introduced me to Henry. Henry's been a nice mentor, so to speak, always down to pick up the phone and give me advice. He's been on the podcast, by the way. Check it out. We'll put up Henry Winkler's episode right here. Check that out. It's on YouTube over Zoom. Guy, it was a great episode. He would be a great guest for the Dr. Phil live show. I should actually figure that out. So I've gotten good at being like self-sufficient, like me doing everything. But I could use some help. But I also like it. It's the rush and the adrenaline and the pressure a little bit. I kind of, you know, I'm creating the whole show, memorizing all the shit I got to do, outlining the map of questions, what the games are, the, you know, how much time to spend on each guest. And then once the show starts, pre-show, I'm actually getting people in and managing the comics and everyone in the back and make sure everyone's good and knows what they're doing, and then working out with tech stuff and camera and sound and trying to fine-tune all that stuff. It's a lot. But I enjoy it. But it's a lot. But yeah, maybe in a bigger spot. If we move to a bigger venue or something like that, maybe I'd need more help. But because, you know, you do want to only think and handle the creative stuff, but sometimes there's you just I don't know, get used to doing things a certain way. But that's a 2024 resolution, is trying to be more receptive to help. Do you guys have resolutions? Do we make any? I don't know. I think I did write down some goals, which I haven't done that in a while, and that was kind of nice. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Well, guys, 2024 is here. It came a little too quick, that's what she said. But it's here, and we're all trying to keep the same things about ourselves, but change and crush it harder, right, as the kids say. Be the best you can. Well, if you're trying to do that and you're obsessed with getting that best version of me out into the world, well, maybe you need to start investing in yourself and thinking about the things that people talk about you behind your back and go, well, maybe I should figure out what that is and why I'm like that. I digress. Therapy helps you find out what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and really just who you are and where you're headed. BetterHelp is here to help you out with that. BetterHelp. So I'll tell you this. I've been using BetterHelp. I found some of these sessions to be insanely valuable. They matched me up with a licensed therapist and really helped me open up and see life through a different set of goggles. And I think we all could use that. Really, it's been a massive upgrade, learning about dealing with family stuff and setting boundaries with certain relationships, cutting people out of my life that I don't need. But I'm a people pleaser, so I'm trying to find that balance at all corners and turns and walks of life. BetterHelp is here for you, and they're entirely online, and they're designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. That's right, your schedule. Hey, you, the guy in the hat. Yeah, man, you. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire, okay, and they match you with a licensed therapist. And if you don't like it, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That's sweet, that's considerate, and that's the way it should be. If you don't like who you're with, you call them up, you email them, and they switch you to somebody that you're more batting 1,000 with. You've made progress this year. Celebrate that, okay? Do it right now. Visit BetterHelp.com/aboutlastnight right now and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/aboutlastnight. And start investing in you, because you, say it with me, deserve it. Okay.
That's my hair. Look, I had an audition this morning for a part on the Not Dead Yet ABC show with Rick Glassman and Gina Rodriguez. We'll see what happens. Been going out for a lot of cool shit recently. And say it with me, not booking any of it. Which is why you got to stay creative, man. You can't sit around waiting for this shit to happen. You got to create your own good luck, as my grandpa would say. That being said, I would love to book one of these jobs. I auditioned to play Robert Shapiro for the Ryan Murphy Menendez Brothers story. What a cool part that would be. I tried to be like, hey, I've played Vince McMahon, Jay Leno, and in the Gaslit Show. Ron Ziegler, the press secretary for Nixon. I've done some cool historical figure people. In pop culture, whatever. Throw Robert Shapiro in the mix. Come on, baby. had a great audition for a Kristen Bell, Seth Rogen, I believe, Netflix show. Adam Brody, I think it was. That's going to be a good one. Had a great audition for Beverly Hills Cop 4 with Eddie. A lot of improv. Who knows, man? There's a lot of talented people. Not just in the entertainment business. There's just competition. It's such a crapshoot. It's why you got to, you know, getting reps, having time be on your side, taking care of yourself. It's like there's no rule book. There's no, you can have a game plan and, you know, your vision boards and whatever, but, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of luck. I truly believe that, you know. You can put your, but you can do what you can control, what you can control, and stay ready and be in a position to crush an opportunity out of the park. But when's that opportunity coming? You don't know. I got dark for a minute. Let's see what else. Michael Jackson musical, a lot of fun. Definitely made me want to listen to some Michael Jackson. Definitely made me want to sing. Oh man. There's a really cool potential singing opportunity on a show that I am currently being pitched for. And if it happens, it would be awesome. It's a reality singing competition show, and that's all I'll say. But there's like 9,000 of those, so I did want to be on Idol when I was a kid, but as a joke, I wanted just to go on there and sing the Family Matters theme song like I did on my, the American Idol YouTube video of mine, which I think we have. Let's cut to it actually real quick.
I am going to be singing the theme song to Family Matters.
Love it.
It's a rare condition this day and age to read any good news on the newspaper page. But love and tradition are the grand desires that people think is even harder to find. Well, then there must be some magic clue inside these gentle words. And all I see is the power of dreams. Real love bursting out from everything. It's the bigger love of the family. What's the matter? You guys don't like Family Matters? No, you like it, Randy. You're a fat black guy.
How do you think you did?
Well, I don't mean to sound cocky, Simon, but I've always been told that my voice sounds like a mix between Tracy Chapman and Jewel, Alicia Keys, Phil Collins, The Edge, with kind of the vibrato of J.C. Chazes, the scars and funk of Seal, you know, with the, you know, of like David Gray, and a little bit, like a splash of Meatloaf, and a couple of little sprinkles of Dave Matthews, you know, David Bowie, Ice-T, probably a lot of that, wrapped in like an Enrique Iglesias package, wrapped up with a Bette Midler bow, and a little note on it that says, "You sound like Celine Dion." No, shut up! Stop it!
I can honestly say I've never heard anything like that for as long as I've been doing this show.
Please, let me go to Hollywood. Don't make me beg, because I'll do it. I'll beg, and I'll get angry, and I'll get violent.
Nothing about singing do you have going on. You can't do
it.
It's a no.
Yeah, ready.
Yeah, that video. One of my early sketches. Shout out to Clint Gage for helping me shoot and edit that. And then I watched hours. I bought American Idol DVDs and watched hours of footage to get good reactions and then figure out what the sketch was and write it to that and then cut back and forth to make it look like a real audition. Some people thought it was a real audition. I used to do a bunch of sketches like this. There's another one called Fake Lottery Ticket where we spliced in footage from America's Funniest Home Videos to make it look like I was that I was a part of a prank lottery ticket that was on the show. And a lot of people thought it was real. I had a guy come up to me at the airport and go, man, I saw you, that fake lotto ticket, man, that sucked. Because basically I thought I won the lottery in the video, freaked out, told my girlfriend I was cheating on her with her sister, told my brother to fuck off, told my boss to fuck off, and I quit. And then at the end, they're like, dude, it's a joke ticket. It's really funny. My friend Andy Bolt crushes that. She's like, manufactures tears. It's a joke ticket. It's so funny. It's a joke ticket. Let's actually show that, too. Let's cut to that.
You've probably seen those fake lottery tickets. Have you ever seen those? They tell you first you're rich, and then on the back, if you read real close, they tell you you're an idiot. It may be cruel, but we have hit the jackpot with these fake lottery winners. Check it out.
You're taking us all out to dinner if you win, man.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one, too. Like steak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Denny's.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
You win?
Oh, my God.
Did you win?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What the f***? I won $2 million.
What?
I won $2 million.
What?
I won $2 million.
Oh,
oh, I gotta do something.
Yeah, call your parents.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Who are you calling?
Oh my God.
Who are you calling?
Wait a second. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Hi, Mr. Branson. This is Doug. Hope you're having a good morning. Hey, look, you're not gonna be coming in to work today because you're a fat suck my and suck it again because I quit. You.
Yeah.
Let's get excited.
Let's not do anything crazy, man.
Something I need to tell you about.
No, shut up. There's I need something to tell you, baby. We're f***ing over. We're done. Divorce. I hate you. We're done with this. You know what? Shut up, bro. I f***ing hate you. I don't know why I got married to you. Pressure from your parents. I don't f***ing know why, but you are just, I hate your laugh and your f***ing meatloaf dinners. You know what I do when you sleep? Honey, I pinch you. I pinch your back, man. I pinch her.
That's what those bruises are?
That's f***ing right what those bruises are.
Hey, just calm down, man.
Dude, you need to calm down. Okay, I got some news for you. Guess what happens every Tuesday around like 3:30? Sarah, your girl, f***ing jerks me off in my car. Yeah.
What?
Newsflash. But guess what? Now it doesn't f***ing shut the f*** up, Kyle.
Hey, man,
shut the f*** up.
Hey, f***
all you guys. I'm f***ing rich.
Hey,
f***ing
Doug. It's a fake f***ing ticket.
Joke ticket.
It's a hilarious joke ticket. It's so funny.
We're just messing around with you, man.
Shut up.
Look at the ticket.
It's a birthday prank, you f***s.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, she nailed that, and people were like, this guy at the airport, sorry about that. I was like, oh, man, it was a video, it was a sketch. He goes, nah, it wasn't. I was like, no, I'm telling you it was. He goes, nah, it was real, man. I go, well, I made it, so I'm telling you it was all fake. Those were actors. Yeah, oh, good one. It was a good role. It sounds like it was a good one. I got you. Yeah, you got me. We did get you. It was fake. It was fake. So are we in agreement? You said it, but I think there was a question mark at the end still. But, you know, you just take that as a compliment, I guess. All right, what else? You guys got any questions? Maybe we should start taking questions and emails. Fuck, I don't know. What else? Traveling like a mofo. If you travel a lot, you know what I'm talking about. You got to get a routine. You got to make sure, you know, if you got a late flight, you eat before, you bring something on the plane that's not going to stink up the cockpit. You make sure to have stuff to do to keep you busy. Sometimes I'm so damn tired. When I took a red eye at 1 a.m. to go to the national championship game, which was bonkers, by the way, went with Adam French and Adam's sweet wife, Kim, a bunch of their pals from UW. Wow, what an environment. Shout out to Ashwin Rowe, the UW team doctor, formerly of the Seahawks doctor, hooking up the tickets. Had to go. Houston, huge dome. I think it holds like 72,000. Michigan versus University of Washington. I grew up loving them. I went to SC, became a fan of the Trojans because that was my squad. We won 3 national championships while I was there. Fight on. But, man, supporting the UW, it was bananas. A college national championship game might have the most insane energy for a sporting event because people are going crazy the whole time. Adam French and I did go to, I think, Japan versus Korea World Baseball Classic in 2010 at Dodger Stadium. And that was actually maybe the craziest. Every pitch, felt like two outs, full count, bottom of the ninth, no fear. Remember those No Fear t-shirts? Two outs, bottom of the ninth, full count, no fear. I was like, dude, this was one of my early jokes. How come it's just sports related? How about some people don't play sports? How about stuff that's more relatable? And as you get older, you need, you know, the scenarios to upgrade with the times, you know, random chick, spring break, parents gone, condoms broke, stores are closed, no fear. So we're at the stadium and we are surrounded by so many Michigan fans. People keep it pretty cool though. Fights happened. I saw a few, but nothing too crazy. I got recognized by a young merch kid. Dr. Phil, what's up? Motherfucking Dr. Phil. Took a picture of that kid. Hooked me up with some merch. Wish I could remember his name. Nick, I think. Got pretty toasty. Had some edibles and drank. And I mean, I was there for, landed at 6 a.m., napped, woke up, did some VO work, and then went to the bar and took it slow. Not until I got into the stadium did I start like taking a shot and throwing them back. And it was, wow, just an unbelievable atmosphere. But yeah, the Japan versus Korea World Baseball Classic. Every pitch, there's a chant. It just felt like the World Series, every pitch in the most important moments. But the game was all right. UW just kind of blew it. They had a lot of opportunities. Michigan was great, but I mean, UW could have won that game. Some games, no, it's a blowout, or even if the score doesn't reflect it, one team just was better. UW was in it the whole time until kind of the end. But that's sports, baby. You're in it until you're not. And then somebody wins and somebody loses. Sports. It is funny. I get so into the analysis of sports. I love it. I'm a dude, and I love sports, and I can't help but watch the same bullshit. But I was telling my wife, I go, it's just a different day with different teams and different stakes. So that's what makes you kind of suspend your disbelief. Like, they're talking about new stuff. They're not really. Stephen A. Smith is the, you know, his opinions. It's, you know, football, it's football, basketball, baseball. You know, he's kind of consistent with what he thinks and says, and it's, you're looking for a clickbait, shock value, whatever. But, you know, but it's all like the playoffs. It's like, we've been talking football. They'll say the same shit. You know, Josh Allen can run the ball, but the man has an arm. Have you seen him? But yeah, we know he has an arm. He's got two arms, in fact. And he throws with one of them, and he's pretty damn good. He's been doing it for a while. We know that. It's not new info, but they say it as if you almost don't know. But it's, they also say it like this. Hey, check this out. You ready for some insider info? Tom Brady, good. And retired, but good. But there was a time when Tom Brady would play, and you'd watch him and go, this man is different. He's built different. He ain't running out the pocket so much anymore, but his precision, his eye, game coordination is at an all-time high, and he sees down the field. He throws to receivers when they're open, and even when they're not, he finds a way to get them the ball, and that's what good players do. They look for opportunities that are not there, and Tom Brady is a gamer. He's a Super Bowl champ. Let me tell you how many Super Bowls Tom Brady won, and then they go down the line. It's like adding in existing facts, and then just, it's almost like, yeah, it's insane. And we just, I'm a sucker for it. I'm like, wow, dude, yeah, Brady is so good, dude. 7 Super Bowls. I forgot about that. No, you didn't. They just said it in a way that made you think you did. They're manipulators. But the best ones do a great job of, again, making it exciting to be a part of the same shit. Magic Johnson used to do that when he would come on NBA Countdown. Magic, what do you think, man? Celtics, Lakers, meeting up for the finals for, I don't know, the 12th time in NBA history. What a matchup. And really, we're going to get to see the best of both worlds, the East versus the West, but a matchup of true dominance. Kevin Garnett, Paul Allen, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen versus Kobe and Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum. What do we think the matchups look like? Well, this is my Magic Johnson. Well, the Lakers have Kobe Bryant. He is a dominant player. Dominant. It goes to the hole anytime he wants. Okay. Can shoot the three ball, can dunk, can pass. He loves the game. He plays basketball. When he dribbles, people are afraid. And when he plays defense, they are intimidated. So it'd be tough to stop Kobe. But Kevin Garnett on the other side is 7 feet tall, or just about, and he can dunk. Okay. He can run. He can hug people with consensual, you know, appropriateness. And he's a dominant big man down low. And the paint's going to be tough to control him. Tough to box him out, get a rebound over him, because he is a 9-time All-Star.
with a passion for basketball that exceeds most normal people. So, in the end, Kobe, Garnett, we're just going to have to see what happens. That's what I listened to this for? We're going to have to see what happens? Yeah, no fucking shit, Magic. Like, you would never want your waiter at a restaurant to be like, hey, how's the burger? Well, the burger has meat, lettuce, pickles, onions. There's a bun on each side. Is it good? Well, we're just going to have to see what happens. Why? What are you going to do to my burger? We'll be right back. That's why I love Phil, man. That's why I love me some Dr. Phil. We'll be right back. Throw that in wherever you want. I love Bill Burr, by the way, coming back February 6th, Comedy Store, Dr. Phil Live. In Burr's first appearance, if you haven't seen it, it's a great moment where he's like, I bet you say that to your wife when you guys, when you're done having sex, right after you orgasm. We'll be right back. Got a big laugh from me. Okay. I think that's about it. I'm on the road. I'm on tour a lot. Had to move some gigs around. Appreciate your patience. Minnesota and Baltimore will be rescheduled. Minnesota's already been rescheduled for, I think, September 25th through the 28th. That's at Acme Comedy Club. But I have a lot of dates coming up. When you watch this, it will be Monday, January 22nd. This week, I'm on the Impractical Jokers cruise in Miami to the Bahamas, doing shows with them. And then spending the weekend in Miami doing shows at Comedy at the Western. So check me out there Friday and Saturday. And then, wow, we get right into it, man. We're talking first week of Feb. I'm in Chehalis, Washington at McFeiler's. And then February 3rd at, I think, the Carco Theater in Renton, Washington. So two chances in Washington to see me February 2nd and 3rd. February 8th through the 11th, I'm in Las Vegas for the Super Bowl at the Tropicana, the Laugh Factory at the Tropicana, February 8th through the 11th. And then February 15th, 16th, and 17th at the Riot Comedy Club in Houston, Texas. We've added shows on Thursday because Friday and Saturday are selling out, which is awesome. Thank you. So come out Thursday, please, February 15th through the 17th at the Riot Comedy Club in Houston. And then February 23rd and 24th, Hyenas in Dallas. Come out and see your boy there. And then we move into March, where we've got some dates with Bert Kreischer, the 14th through the 17th, on the road with Bert for the Tops Off World Tour. And then March 23rd, I'll be in Austin, Texas, Cedar Park, Texas, for the Can't Even Comedy Festival. March 25th, I will be in Austin for a couple of days to do some special stuff. And then we're looking end of March at the Olsen Run Comedy Club, new spot in Eugene, Oregon, March 29th and 30th. Come out and see your boy. March 29th and 30th in Eugene, Oregon. We're going to Detroit, Royal Oak, Michigan, the Comedy Castle, April 4th through the 6th. And then April 18th through the 20th at Comedy Works downtown in Denver, Colorado. And then Pittsburgh, Boston, New York, Chicago with Matt Rife at the end of May. Can't wait. All those tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Come out and see me on the road. Dr. Phil live shows, of course, at the Comedy Store. February 6th with Burr sold out, but we have guests coming up, about to be announced for April 2nd and March 5th at the store. Like I said, Mark Norman and Bert Kreischer locked in for May 6th for the Netflix Is a Joke Fest. But more stuff coming. I'm thinking about doing some Dr. Phil shows live outside of L.A., so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, be good to yourself. Have a great week. Don't take shit too seriously. And giggle when you don't feel like giggling. All right? Later, guys.